The following broadcast by the Kingdom Voice, Dr. Dana Carson, is made possible through DCKM Partners. Dr. Carson teaches the power of the kingdom in its original Jewish context that will revolutionize and transform your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world.
Welcome to the dynamic kingdom teaching ministry of Dr. Dana Carson, affectionately known as the Kingdom Voice. The teaching ministry of Apostle Carson is touching the world through social media, radio, podcasts, internet, and television. We're so glad that you tuned in with us, and we know that you are going to be empowered and transformed by the powerful teachings of the Kingdom Voice, Dr. Dana Carson, as he opens the scriptures and teaches the Bible from its original Jewish context. We hope that after hearing the teaching ministry of Apostle Carson, the Kingdom Voice, you will pray about becoming a partner with Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries and help us preach the gospel of the kingdom around the world. Now please, sit back and enjoy the teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Dana Carson, the Kingdom Voice, as he teaches in this series, Understanding, Calling, and Election.
DCKM, Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.
So those of us that are the elect are those of us who were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now, we're not talking about double predestination like some people were chosen, some people were rejected. What this literally means is those of us who responded to the death of Jesus, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, those of us that would respond in an affirmative to his death, then we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We became the elect because God knew our choice. We did not become the elect because God rejected us and accepted some and rejected others. Thus, when we discuss the issue of election and calling, we're discussing an eternal event and reality that was decided before the world began. So I want you to know, You are never ever a disappointment to God. Some people say, I know I disappointed God. That's because you don't know God. If you knew God, you knew God knew what you were going to do before you did it and still chose to accept you. And so this reality was decided before the world began. Adam was a part of God's eternal plan. His fall was an expectation, not a surprise. It was an event that was just seeking its time and season. It was just waiting for its opportunity of manifestation. But it had already taken place in the mind of God. Think about it. If Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, he was slain because of the fall of Adam, which meant then the fall of Adam was already known before Christ was slain. So election and calling is an immutable declaration. That means it is without the ability to change. God never changes his mind about the elect. And so this, when you understand that, then you understand in Jesus' Olivet Discourse, when he talks about the signs of the times and how bad things are getting, he is trying to help us to understand how deceptive Satan is. And many of us, we don't give Satan his due in terms of his ability. We be like, ain't nobody studying no devil. Devil I this, that, and the other. Devil I this, that, and the other. Ain't nobody no devil. Anybody. When the Bible calls him cunning and deceitful, if the devil can deceive angels in the presence of God, if the devil can deceive Eve in the presence of Adam and God, then I don't know why you think that the devil can't deceive you, and you can't even quote five passages of scripture. Now, you have to understand then, God doesn't change. So God doesn't change. He doesn't change. You don't disappoint him. He knows everything about you. He doesn't change. Now, listen to what Malachi 3:6 says. I am the Lord, and I do not change. God says I'm immutable. That's what we refer to as the immutability of God, the non-changingness of God. God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change. For God to change, that would mean he became aware of something he didn't know. And so now, in light of the new awareness or information, he now wants to rethink his decision, because he made a decision based on the lack of full knowledge. But now that he has full knowledge, now he wants to recant and change his decision. But the Bible says clearly that God does not change. He's immutable. Thus, when the scripture states that God repented, I know that's going to come to somebody's mind, that God repented that he made man, that seems like God changed his mind, but that's not that. That is what we call in theology anthropomorphism and anthropopathism. Now, those two terms, anthropomorphism, anthro comes from anthros or man, and then morphism comes from morphe, which means to form or relates to the image. So what anthropomorphism is ascribing human features to discuss God so that you can understand God. And then, so like the hand of God, God doesn't have a hand. But then the term anthropopathism, that speaks of using the emotions of trying to explain the emotions of God in terms where people and humans can understand it. So when we say that the hand of God moved, God doesn't really have a hand, but it's trying to express God in ways you can understand them. So that's anthropomorphism. But then when we say God repented, that's anthropopathism. So anthropopathism speaks of the emotion. So it's not literally that God repented. It was God, he's trying to let us know how he felt about those acts. So anthropos, human, and pathos, passion or suffering. So it's saying God is trying to let us know God despises the way that man is acting. Not God repented that he made man, because if that meant that, just think about it. If that meant that, then how would Christ be slain before the foundation of the world? And that's the reason people will get to the place, the Bible's confusing. It's not confusing. You just need a teacher. And that's the problem. Most people don't want to be taught. Most people don't want to be taught. Most people just want to be inspired. They just want to be affirmed and confirmed. And so we opt to hear people speak things that tell us that we're going to prevail over our haters, and that no matter what's happening in life, we're going to overcome. And even if you have a poverty mentality and attitude and practice, you're going to get this big payday, and it's coming. It's coming. Just turn around. Give your neighbor a high five, run in place, do six jumping jacks, down to the floor, give me three. Listen, all these calisthenics. And that's what we want rather than understanding what the Bible teaches. So listen, the Bible declares in Proverbs 19:21, There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. The plan of God is immutable because they're based upon his omniscience and his omnipresence. He not only knows, he's also experienced. In the omnipresence of God, he was there in eternity past and eternity future. So election or divine choice takes place in eternity, and it takes place when we talk about the concept of election, God's divine choice. It takes place not only in eternity, but also in Christ Jesus, who was slain before the foundation of the world. Now I'm gonna give my own self high five because that's good teaching. Now, election and calling then takes place in Christ Jesus. Thus, when God looks at our lives, he does so through the lens of Christ Jesus. Now, this has to make sense to you. So the elect are the elect because they accepted the offer of exchange of life in Christ Jesus. Remember, he was slain before the foundation of the world. He was crucified. So he gave up his life for our life, and which means if we embrace his death, then we in exchange for our death, then that means we have to take his life in exchange for our life. So we got to give him our life, and he dies for us, then he gives us his life, and we now live for him. So Luke writes it like this in Acts. He says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our very existence. Paul states that our lives are hid in Christ Jesus, and when he appears, then shall we appear. See, election is the divine selection of God based upon our choices, which he knew through his omniscience, his all-knowingness, because he is the all-knowing God. There is nothing that God doesn't know nor has experienced in time and eternity, because he is omnipresent. God knows what you're going to do before you do it, but because of his sovereign choice to provide us free will, he allows you and I to do it, even if it's against his will. He could have stopped Adam from, when Eve said, take, eat, God could have slapped that fruit out of his hand. I wish you would bite on that fruit after I told you better not eat. God didn't do him, he let him do it. He was omnipresent. And when God said, Adam, where are you? That was for Adam to evaluate himself, not because God had lost Adam. God's all knowing. He's Roi. He's the God who sees. He saw it all. He knows all. He was there. He watched Adam eat of that forbidden fruit. But God chose it. He chose to allow free will, and thus he knows who will choose against him, though he doesn't make them choose against him. When you reject God, it's not because God, if you're not the elect, it's not because God didn't choose you, you didn't make the cut. It was because you didn't make the choice. So God allows you to choose for or against, or against him. But when you choose against God, it will not be because you didn't have an opportunity to choose for God. So God always presents you a choice and an option. And if God doesn't present you a choice or an option to say yes or no, then that's still not free choice. That's the bondage of the will. That means you have no other options. And so there's not that every man will have an opportunity to accept or reject God. And that already has taken place in the mind of God. He already knows who would do it. And since he knows those who would do it, the Bible states that those who will embrace God are the elect of God, based upon them choosing to embrace the offer of God to denounce their life and take on the life of Christ. Thus, Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ in me. And the life that I live now in my body is his life, and is based on my faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. See, so there has to be this exchange. You cannot be the elect and you've not given your life to Christ. You can't just acknowledge God and then tip him with an offering. That's not making your calling and election sure. Therefore, Peter states, we ought to be diligent, spoudazo, an aorist imperative, once and for all, be in a hurry, give diligence, a sense of urgency to determine to live for God. And so Peter said, he states that we are to make every effort, to make our calling and election sure or firm, build it upon the trust of God. So we have to make our calling and election sure. Now, I want you to understand that's important. That's important that we do that, that we make our calling and election sure. This is what Peter says, make our calling and election sure. Now, last time we were together, I talked about that calling and election, but I also talked about not simply the electoi, the elected, and the kletoi, the called. I also talked about the contrast between call and being chosen. And we looked at those parables in Matthew 20 and Matthew 22. And we talked about that word friend that's in both of those parables. And that word heteros, is a selfish man. He's calling them friend, but that word means a selfish man who only befriends people for their advantage. And so the parable then talks about many are called, but few are chosen. Everyone gets an invitation to the banquet. Everyone gets an invitation to serve God, but it's only those who operate not as heteros, but operate more from the concept of filial, a friend who takes on the interest of another, which means you cannot embrace the call of God and become the chosen or the elect without embracing God's will for your life over your will. So we talked about that last time we were together. And so I want to advance just a little bit more as Paul helps us to understand not only the aspect of concept of calling and election in Romans chapter 8, but he also helps us to understand the process. Dr. B.B. Warfield and other theologians refers to this concept that Paul deals with and discusses in Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30 as the golden chain of redemption. The golden chain of redemption, which stretches from the eternity that has passed to the eternity that is to come. Now, this chain, or the golden chain of redemption, includes the discussion and the process of the holistic experience of salvation and redemption from eternity past to eternity to come through the concept and the call of God according to his purpose. Now, in Romans 8, you look at that real quick. In Romans 8, and let's turn that. Many of you have been waiting for me to get back here, but I wanted to build a stronger foundation for you to really understand that. In Romans 8, is built upon prothesis. It's built upon his divine purpose. Now, in Romans 8 and 28, it reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Now, this word purpose here is the Greek term prothesis, and it involves purpose, resolve, and design. So God's purpose took place before time. It's made of two words, pro, before, and thesis, a resolved, a conclusion, a purpose. So God had his purpose before time began. And so it says all things are going to work together for them who are called according to God's purpose. Now, his beforehand plan. So God calls you to his beforehand plan. Now, you got to know his beforehand plan was not for you to be an architect or a school teacher. His beforehand plan, God says, all things are going to work together for good for those who love the Lord. That word agapao, which means your interests have been impacted because of your relationship with God. And so your interests, you've taken on the interests of another, not heteros. And so he says, all things are going to work together for good, agathon or agathos, for good or for your good. It's going to turn out good if you are the kaleo, if you've been called or invited to purpose, who've been called according to his prothesis. So that means it's not going to work out good for you if you've not been called according to his purpose. The call is based on his purpose, not on optimism or well wishes. Things only work out for good, for the good of those who embrace their call and live out their purpose, because there is no good that will work out for you if the day you give up the ghost or the day you die, you are not in the presence of God hearing him say, well done. And the only, my good and faithful servant, but the only way that he can say, well done, is that meant that you accomplished a known task. But if you don't know what your task is, or you try to call a career task, then you know you're not going to hear well done. I've already argued. You have second and third careers. Sometimes you kicked out your career. God didn't call you that. A call has to do with election, and election has to do with salvation. It's a salvific call to represent the purposes of God. And so Peter says, you've got to make your calling and election sure. So things work out good for them that are called, kaleo, who are called according to his prothesis. And so then, based on that, then Paul begins to explain what Dr. Warfield refers to as the golden chain of redemption, which are the acts that take place on a particular group referred to in scripture as the elect. All of the elect go through this golden chain process that involves foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. Now, Dr. Warfield suggests that these five golden links are welded together in one unbreakable chain, which means you have to experience them all. So when we look at the scripture, we look at what Paul says in verse 29. Now we know verse 28 said, we're called according to his purpose, to his prothesis. We've been kaleo, invited, because agapos, we love God, our interests have been infected or impacted by our relationship with him. And so everything that happens in our life is designed to get us where God wants us to be, so that we're able to bring to pass the call of God that's according to his purpose. So no matter where you are, what your circumstance and situation is, it should be pushing you towards your call and your purpose. Now, then Paul says, now he's going to explain it to you. So he says, for whom he foreknew. Now, this is powerful. Whom he foreknew. Now, he says, now he's explaining this call according to his purpose. He's explaining now this election and calling. He says, for whom he foreknew. Here's the process. He foreknew. So Paul uses the Greek term prognosko. Now, prognosko, pro means beforehand. Gnosko means to know intimately. Now, there are two main Greek terms for know. One is eudaimon, which comes from the Greek term eidon. Eidon means to see. So eudaimon means to know by perception. So it's a perceived knowledge. And then you have gnosko. Gnosko is an experienced knowledge. Now, Paul says we know all things work together for good. Now, that's the word eudaimon. He says we can perceive that because we're doing God's will, and whenever we're in God's will, God's going to take care of us. We can perceive that all things work together for good. Why? Because we love the Lord. We're doing his thing, not our thing. Why? Because we're called according to his purpose. So we perceive that it's going to work out. We can't say it's gnosko now, because we've not experienced the actual manifestation of it working out. But we're not panicking, because we're eudaimon. We're perceiving that it's going to work out. When you know you're in God's will and you're doing what God has called you to do, it doesn't matter what comes, hell or high water, you can perceive that God is not going to leave me here in this situation. I don't care if I'm troubled on every hand. I like the three Hebrew boys thrown in the fiery furnace. They said that, listen, our God is able to deliver us. Even if he doesn't deliver us, he's able. So I want you to know, when you're in God's will, you know God's going to get you through that. So, but that's perception. But here Paul says, for whom God foreknew, whom he knew. It says, for whom he foreknew, prognosko, beforehand, he experienced. Now, that word gnosko means to know by experience. Now, when we go back and we look at the principle of first mentioning, and we look over into the original Hebrew language, when we see this word know, to get a deeper understanding, then we have to go to the Old Testament, and we look for the first time we see this word know. Now, of course, the English word doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same Greek word, so we have to go into the languages. But so we get to Genesis chapter 4, and it says, and Adam knew Eve. Now, we know he didn't perceive Eve. Why? Because it says he begot Cain. Now, and she begot Cain. Now, so here's the deal. Now, this word is which is yod or yada, which means yod is the Hebrew term for hand or penis. So it means that he either hand Eve or penis Eve, And context helps us to know which word should be used. Now, he may have used his hand at some point, but his hand cannot begat a Cain. So we know the word is penis. So that means he penis Eve and begot Cain. So it speaks of intimacy. Now, we know it's the word gnosko because when the Septuagint translated the Hebrew into Greek, they translated this word gnosko. So gnosko means to know by experience. Now, this is important. I want you to understand. It means to know by experience. Now, so when you know God, that means God, you experience God and God impregnates you. And so to know God is to begat things for God. And so Paul even says after 30 some odd years of ministry, he said, I want to know him. In essence, Paul was saying, I want to begot other things for God before I leave this place. I still have babies I've got to give birth to. That means then if you have been foreknown by God, then that means God impregnated you with some things to do that you've got to discover what they are. He told Jeremiah, I knew you, gnosko, when you look at that, when you or yod, Hebrew, but it, when you look at that word in the Septuagint, it's gnosko. I knew you before you were and formed you, and I deal with that word later, and formed you before you were in your mother's womb, which meant you didn't come here in order to find something to do. You came here because you had something to do. Your life is on purpose. Now, if you are the elect of God and you said yes to Christ Jesus, then that means God has purpose for you. And it's important that you connect and identify with your purpose. And so he says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Teaching of Dr. Dana Carson. If you would like to hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org/radio. If you would like to know more about the kingdom and your faith, we invite you to enroll in the Kingdom Bible University. Check this out.
Studying the Bible can be challenging if you don't understand what you're reading. The Ethiopian eunuch admitted that he couldn't understand except someone teach him. As kingdom citizens, we are called to live out God's word in every moment of our lives, but we must understand the word in order to do that. The Kingdom Bible University was created to help believers learn God's word on a practical level and teach you how to live it out in your daily life. KBU desires to help you achieve the kingdom knowledge and empowerment of the Bible that helps you enhance your spiritual life to maximize your potential. Find out more information about KBU by visiting our website, www.kingdombibleuniversity.com. Understand the Bible like never before and experience the power that is within to change your life for God's glory. Learn more about KBU today.
Before we end this broadcast, we would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now, acknowledging that I am a sinner and in need of your grace. Save me, Lord. Make me clean. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you said this prayer, we celebrate with you, and we invite you to join online to further your kingdom journey at therockwoi.com and click on Join Online. We would love to assist you through your new kingdom life and send you a free copy of Dr. Carson's book, My New Life in the Kingdom. We look forward to connecting with you.
Have you ever desired to be a part of making history and accomplishing great things? Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries is making history, and through DCKM partners, we are accomplishing significant ministry opportunities for the kingdom of God. DCKM Ministry spreads the gospel of the kingdom around the world through broadcasts like this. And if you would like to be a part of touching lives, partner with DCKM today. Testimonies come in daily of how lives are transformed through the power of the word. When you partner with DCKM, you help receive breakthroughs, miracles, and the transformational word of God. Would you consider becoming a partner? Your monthly love gift and weekly prayers really can make a huge difference. No amount is too small. Visit drdanacarson.org to find out more information on how to become a partner, and we look forward to the impact you can make around the world.
That concludes today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the ministry of Dr. Dana Carson. Until next time, may the kingdom of God rule and reign in your hearts and minds.
In this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world as a witness. I'm a witness. Would you go be a witness? In this gospel of the kingdom, the good shall news. Be spread across the world.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.
DCKM, Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.